the band and those who serve. Thanks for the people who are serving now in Stars and the nursery. Appreciate those people who give every week, different people serving, the sound booth all the way back. Glad you're with us today, and I mean that. I hope you look forward to being together in God's house with God's people, just reflecting together and looking together. We've been in the series of prayer. And the tough thing about prayer is that you can talk a lot about it, and then you wonder, do we do it? There's some things we can talk about, and again, it's really, it's something that we could easily produce guilt on. I haven't forgotten you. You did this to me first service. I haven't forgotten you. It's easy to talk about some things in God's Word and harder to do. It's very simple to pray, but how many of us do that? How many of us really take the time just to pray about those issues? And yet we look at the fact that we have a prayer-hearing God, that we looked at one of the attributes, one of the names given of God is a prayer-hearing God. He is a prayer-hearing God. He is a prayer-answering God. And we know that. People say, well, why do you pray? Some great, you know, especially some theologians and people that, well, why do you pray? You're a determinist. God already knows. Why do we? Well, you know what? It's very simple. He tells us to pray. Okay, so that's it. You know, he tells us to pray about everything. Somebody said, well, I don't need to pray about everything. Okay, pray about those things that cause anxiety in your life. That's just about everything. But I'll give you that. Pray about those things. Pray about those things. I think at times, sometimes there may be some hidden benefits to prayer that we just don't really recognize. I mean, when we point it out, it's, oh, yeah. But have you ever been to the point when you're just so overwhelmed or consumed or in tragedy or in trauma and drama or just heavy of heart that the only thing you can do is pray? And pretty soon when you start praying, it seems like some of those burdens are lifted at least for a moment, at least for a time, that you find that your burdens are lifted and they're gone just for a little bit. And I think, I wonder at times what their correlation would be if I prayed more to my blood pressure. I wonder the coping skills that we use. I wonder if we prayed more, how it would reflect in our lives more. But we're also told to pray because prayer is what changes us. We come and we say, okay, it's going to change. It's not changing God, it's changing us. So we want to conform to the image of Christ. We want to be conformed to the image of Christ. And prayer is part of that process. Brings peace. We looked at that, how prayer brings peace to our life. That we have that. We don't need to be anxious. We have the peace of God. But we also looked even last week that we need prayer to help fight the battles that in our spiritual battlefield that we need to have and that we will have, and fight the battle of the tongue, fight the battle of contentment, fight the battle of peace and those things, that we need prayer to help us do that. Prayer helps us take care of those things, the prayer that fights contentment and all of that. And so this morning, Gustavo, come on up here. This morning we're going to look at the issue of prayer being that which is in a church, both powerful, a prayerful church, being a powerful church. Now, if you're our guest today, we have many who speak English as a second language, and I kind of talk fast. And so I've asked Gustavo each week, the week that he's here, to, as we've done in the past now, we're going to learn. So you're going to give us a test this morning, right, in just a minute. Not yet. But we're going to. But for our Spanish-speaking friends, especially our people, he gives a synopsis of the message, and then I fill in the blanks. Hopefully they can catch all of that as I talk very fast. Go ahead. Let me help you here. Ready? Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
There you go. I got it. You want to try them? Go ahead.
Okay. Buenos dias.
Well, hey, we are making progress, buddy. Okay.
Okay. Ya dijo José Gustavo. Déjame doy un breve resumen rápido. Vamos a continuar con el tema de la oración. Por eso hablaremos de un Dios que escucha nuestras oraciones y responde, ¿verdad? También como dijo, que nos dicen que oremos, ¿verdad? Y veremos cómo orar como una iglesia veremos cómo una iglesia es más completa y más unida cuando usamos el poder de la oración, ¿verdad? Y también la iglesia que alaba y da y sirve por la causa de Dios espera a Dios y lo glorifica. En otras palabras, ¿sabes? Nos da esa seguridad que Él viene, que confiamos en Él, que creemos en Él. Y bueno, con eso les quiero dejar esto, es que la iglesia de la oración no es un edificio, sino somos nosotros los que oramos juntos como una iglesia, lo que la cena.
All right. I think you were ad-libbing again there, buddy. No. It's good. In the last service, he didn't rush as much as you. I mean, you rushed more because you wanted to get to Doug's class. Get out of here. Get me Doug's class. We're talking about a prayerful church, a powerful church, and how that ties together. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, he really gives us, in a nutshell, the young church, the genesis of the young church was right here. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The issue of what they remembered here, they says they devoted themselves. And it first starts with that. They devoted themselves as an entirety. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, not just fellowship, but to the fellowship, the way, the church, the body, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The breaking of bread, this doing remembrance of me. They ate together. They held all things in common, and to prayer. It says here this was the fellowship of the believers. This was the genesis of the new church. In fact, if you go on in Acts chapter 2, just in a few chapters, you're going to find out that they began to suffer immense persecution. That they really started coming under it, and yet their response continually was the response of prayer. That they responded in prayer. They devoted themselves first, though, to teaching, which really was to learning. They devoted to learning, to listen to the word, to listen to the apostles, to listen and to learn, not just hear, not just become hearers of the word, but become doers of the word. They listened to the letters. They don't have the written word as we have today finished and canonized. They listened to the letters that were being circulated. They listened to the apostles' teaching of what they knew and how they shared to learn. And with that came the issue of change. It wasn't just hearing to know, it was hearing to conform. It says they were also devoted to each other, to the fellowship, to the way, to the fellowship, to the body there. They were there as family. They were supporting. They weren't criticizing. They were sharing the good. They were sharing those things together, to the fellowship. We here, you can come to know Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. It's not about this church. It's not about any church. It's not about the things you do. It's about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about knowing that God sent his Son to die for us who were in need of a Savior, and to change our dependence from ourselves to dependence upon him. And when we come to understand that, when we come to understand that he sent his Son to die for us, that we have that relationship with him, but also his Spirit dwells in us, and we have a relationship with those who know him. But they were sharing the good. They had a devotion to each other. We as a body need to have a devotion to each other. They went out after they gave their lives to Christ, and they lost jobs, they lost their lives, they lost family. We here, we walk out, you can make that decision today, you can walk out of here, and really the change that you'll have, it'll be great, and it can change your life, but you're not usually walking into those kind of things. But they knew that. They knew the cost. They were devoted to each other. They supported each other. And we as a body need to do that. Hebrews tells us that we as a body, we don't need to criticize. We need to build up. We need to edify. And in fact, the things that we say that are demeaning, we need to stop saying. We devoted to each other. And then it says they were devoted to prayer. To prayer. They prayed, and they prayed often. Not just gathering, but praying. There's so many times people say, well, we're having a prayer meeting. And what they do is they sit around, they share their stories or share their gossip or share what God needs to do, but they seldom pray. We'll talk a lot about it, but we get down to pray. I'm one of these guys, quite frankly, that we don't need to share a whole lot of times about prayer requests. Just pray. Just pray. Quit talking about it. I don't need to hear about your aunt's lumbago or whatever. Just say, pray for my aunt. Okay, God knows. I don't need to know all of it. Just pray. Just pray. Now, the issue of prayer when it comes to the church, especially, there's the levels of prayer in our life. There's individually that we come to. Obviously, there's an individual that we pray as an individual. That's the church. You and I make up the church. The church is not these walls. The church is you and I together here. We are the church. But when we come together, there's a corporate here. We are the corporate body of Christ here. So we have an individual church. We have a corporate body of Christ, which is here. And then we have a universal body of Christ. There's the universal church. You as I probably get emails or Facebook messages or things that people say, would you pray for so-and-so around the world? Do I know that person? No, but they're of the household of faith. I pray for them. The universal church can pray for them. People around the world. That there's also a corporate body. There were Jews at Ephesus, at Macedonia. There were Jews all Thessalonica, all the different churches there were believers at. So we have a universal, all of the body of Christ tied together by his Spirit. We have a corporate body that's here, right here, tied together by location and locale. This is a corporate body, but the church is not made up only when we come together. Really, you are the church to the world when you walk out of these doors. You and I are the visible representation of Christ. You and I are that church that walks out of these doors. We to live Christ. And so individually, as we come to the church, as we come, we see that that's part of the church, and prayer needs to be in all of those areas. And when we make prayer as a church, as an individual, when you and I see that prayer is necessity for each of our lives, remember back to the text, the little test we did 2 weeks ago on the line when you texted in your answers, my prayer life's non-existent, my prayer life's situational, or my prayer life is daily, it's life-giving. We need to move to that from the non-existent, which very few had that because we all pray. It's usually situational. But we need to move that it's life, it's our life, it's what we do, every response. And when we as individuals do that, when we as individuals pray, I believe we will then begin to see corporately the answers to those prayers, and it will change us corporately. You want to change a church? Pray individually. And when we begin to pray individually, when all of us as people of the body of Christ who know him begin to really get serious about praying about things, not coming together on a Wednesday night and saying, we need a good old prayer meeting. No, you need to have a good old prayer meeting whenever you get out of bed or whatever issue you face or that night when you go to bed. Our prayer needs to be not just segmented to a corporate situation, but individually every day. And when we do, there's some things that we'll begin to see, I believe. First off, I believe we'll become the worshiping church. We'll become a worshiping church. To recognize the power of God, to truly worship, to adore Christ, to both individually and corporately, to bring him. We tell you the band cannot create worship. There's no band in the world that can create worship. They can create an environment for our worship to grow, but they can't create worship because worship is not about a band. Worship is about you adoring Christ. You of individually recognizing and seeing what God has done for you, that's your worship. If your worship is going to try to come together when you're here and only here, it's going to be flat. Your worship has to start every day as you recognize God in your life, as you recognize his control, as you recognize the issues of our heart. I shared this in the first service, and as a pastor especially, I love it. I love it when, no, I don't love it. That's rhetorical, but that's sarcasm. It's amazing to me, that would be a better way of saying it, when people come to me and say, I can't worship with that song, or I can't worship with that. I can't worship with the drum, or I can't worship, you know, whatever it may be. And I think, wow, you know, and I can't worship this way or that way. And I'm wondering, where does that come from? We as a church corporately worship, because what you're telling me is that worship is about you. That's why you're telling me. And now hold on, those of you who immediately begin to build a barrier. There's some, you have a preference of liking, not liking, but worship isn't tied to that whatsoever. In fact, we're supposed to be able to worship no matter what our situation is in. People worshiped as they were being burned at the stake. People worshiped as they were being put to death. I mean, the reality is, I said this in the first service, unless you're a Giants fan, you could even worship in a ballpark. I mean, you could come to the point in your life where it's not about all the things that are around you to worship. It is about your heart. Can you be out whatever, wherever God may place you and see the wonder of God in that moment and worship God at that moment? Can you look up and see, man, look at the sunrise, look at the sunset, or look at what God's creation has done, or look at what he's done in my life in the midst of so much going on. We should be able to worship with all hell breaking loose, quite frankly, because it's not based upon us. It's based upon him. Do I understand all that's going on? No, I don't have to, but he does. And so our worship is based not upon us, but upon him. If you can't worship, you aren't praying. That's the bottom line. You say, that's kind of harsh. I know. But that's where it is, because we come to the point that especially as a corporate body, the things I should be able to work. Listen, you should be able to worship no matter where you're at. Because you realize what God's done in your life. It's not about the environment you're even placed in. One of my trips across the seas, I was speaking in Europe. At the time, it was in Romania, and communism was really just coming down, and Ceausescu, all the different things were going on. And I was in an environment that, man, it was not a good environment. It was just not. It wasn't a safe one. It wasn't a good one. I couldn't understand a thing anybody was saying. And yet somebody started praying. I couldn't understand a word. And the environment around was terrible. And all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed with the goodness of God to me. I remember, I'll never forget it. I will never forget it. How God said, you know what? And to recognize the church universal, but the goodness of God, that I didn't have to be afraid. I didn't have to look back over my shoulder because I was going to come back to America and I can worship there. I could worship right there in the midst of that. Our worship's not about the environment we find ourselves in. It's about what God has done in our life and is doing in our life. If God's doing nothing in your life, then I guess it's pretty tough to worship that God. But when we begin to pray and see, God, what are you doing? And look at, I adore you, the worshiping church. And when we begin worshiping church, we begin worshiping that as a worshiping church. The next thing you see is you become a reaching church. You pray for people, you target people, you share with people. And pretty soon you reach out. You're a magnet because you see what God's doing in your life. You're reflecting and you're glorifying God. You're worshiping God for what he's done in your life. And pretty soon you become a people magnet. People are drawn to that. They're drawn to the hope that you have. You become a reaching church. Simply sharing what God is doing in your life. There's a huge church in Seoul, Korea. Some of you are well familiar with it. But when they started that church, they had two messages. And it would take different forms, but the same message. One, the message was pray. Be a praying person. The second one was witness. Because when you pray for people, you will reach people. When you pray for them and see them, you become significantly involved with them. When you pray for people, you're aware of God's moving. So it may be the clerk at the store, it may be your coworker, it may be the person that you don't even know. But when you're praying for God's perspective, when you're praying for people, God begins to work in your own heart and life. And within that, you start reaching. Churches grow today not because they build a bigger Disneyland. It's because somebody invited them. 85% of church growth today happens because you invite somebody. I know there's a lot out there, build a bigger Disneyland, build a better mousetrap. But the bottom line is churches grow and people come to know Christ because you share with them. That's why. And if you don't have a heart to do that, it'll never happen. And our worshiping church will become a reaching church, reaching people as we pray. And within that, he then says we become a giving church. Man, we change our dependence, not just giving financially, though that's part of it, that we begin to give because we realize he's given us all. The very breath that we have to take, he's given us. And we hold loosely the things that we have, wanting to invest in the kingdom of God, wanting to invest in the things of God. But we also give of our time and of our talents and not only of our treasure, but we give of our life. Man, in Corinthians, Paul was talking to the Macedonian church. He says, you know, you're under such severe poverty, you don't need to take an offering for the church of Jerusalem. We're going to let you guys go. And they said, whoa, whoa, don't do that. You're going to rob us of that blessing? But he said, you're so poor. And he says, man, they overwhelmed Paul because first they gave of themselves and then they gave of their material goods beyond what they were able to sacrifice more than they even had. They devoted themselves first. They gave themselves first to the cause of Christ. And for us, we start to give of ourselves and give of our time, and we find joy in that. It's not by guilt motivation. It's by joy of loving him and knowing him. And the giving church, pretty soon, I can think of the next couple or no other word. I just use my own words, but I think you become a desiring church. As we begin to pray, as we begin to see God move, we begin to desire the presence of God. We desire to be together corporately. We desire to have that time alone with God in our own life. We desire to be together as we share what God is doing. We desire to be with the fellowship. We desire to learn. It's easy to become devoted to that. We desire to pray for one another. We desire to see God move. We get joy. We weep with those who weep, and we encourage those who need encouraging, and we dance with those who dance, and we begin to see we desire God to move. Do you desire God to move in your life to change you? Do you have a desire to reach others? Do you have that desire to impact others for Christ? Do you have a desire to share with others what God is doing in your heart? As we pray for people, we begin that desire. We end the critical spirit and the problem solving in our head and begin to think people. And we desire to see God work. As we desire to see God work, we become the expectant church. Some of us began this church years ago and a small group sitting in the middle of a living room and then into the middle of a gym that could fit pretty much into the center circle of the gym. Desiring to see God do something and then expecting God to do it. As we started to see it, we began to expect God to move. We came to the point of expecting God to change lives and expecting God, not a critical church, not a church that picks people, not an inclusive church, but an accepting church, not a church that goes like this to people, TikTok, the game is locked and you can't get in, but a church like this where you come and you feel like you've just walked into a family reunion. That you come into our church, you come into our doors, and you feel the love of the Lord Jesus, and you feel like you're in a family reunion, like coming home. That's where we need to be, the expectant church. Not talking about the tradition. Not talking about, oh, well, that's we've never done it that way. You know me, some of you who've been here long. Man, if we've never done it that way, let's try it. I mean, I have to, sometimes you have to, the board has to rear me back a little bit, say, whoa, back up the bus here, Bosco. It's about change. It's about, listen, it's not about selflessness. It's not about saying, oh, we've never done it this way. I'm not going to do it that way. No, it's about coming to the point of saying, listen, we want to see God move. The expectant church, not the changeless, not the selfish, but God, do something. And when we do, when we have that desire, when we have that expectation, we are adequately aware, and the love of my phrase, is to see the wonder of God move, to identify the wonder of God. And we become a wonder of God church where we have this wonder of God in the process of seeing the wonder of God. Yes, it may be in a child to an adult, but you see those wonder of God moments. You see them in your life. When maybe you had just the opportunity to share with a coworker, it may have been a 30-second conversation, but it never had taken place before, and you recognize that as the wonder of God. It may be that something is a need is met in your life, and you recognize that as the wonder of God. You have a conversation, or you share whatever it may be, and we begin to see that expectation. We expect it to move, and we have a wonder of God, the wonder of seeing. We've prayed, and we've seen God move, and it's wondrous, and we want to continue that, and we give him the glory for it because it's not about us, and that is why he answers prayer. Is to give himself the glory. It's not about us. It's about him. Why he answers? To bring him glory. Do you pray today? Do we pray? Oh, I'm not talking about in a guilt-ridden way here. Because I could say, who needs to pray more? Well, we would all have to raise our hands, including me. Everybody, we'd have to pray more. I mean, it's one of those questions. Of course we need to pray more. But it's not about that. It's the motivation of saying, are we coming to our life where we are praying more about things, about the issues of our life, about critical spirits, about the issues of our tongue, the issues of contentment, the issue of giving, the issue of peace, the issues of sharing, the issues of, man, being the person God wants us to be? Are we praying about those things? When people pray, it seems like problems disappear. Praying for our church? Are you praying for the universal issues? Are you praying for the corporate issues here? Are you praying for our staff and for our ministries? And you praying for your friends? Have you targeted those that need to be shared? Are you praying to make you keenly aware of those and to value people who may come across your path today? Are you praying? Saying, God, man, give me the opportunity to share today. Give me the opportunity to reach for you, to be that visible representation of you today. Are you praying for boldness to share? There was a song written years ago. Some of you old timers will know this. The words were penned by Joseph Scriven in 1857. It was never meant to be a hymn. Never. He wrote it between the loss of his fiance the day before they were to be married. There was an accident and she drowned. Soon after that, his mother became ill and was going to die. And he penned these words. And he sent them as a poem to his mother. Later on in his life, as he was very ill, a person came in and he had this poem on the side of his desk, on the side of his bed. And the person picked up the poem and read the poem that he had sent to his mother after his fiance had died and his mother was going to soon die. We don't know, I'm going to read you the last verse, many of us, because we don't sing it, it didn't fit within the meter, I guess, but the last verse of that poem was, "Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory, bright and unclouded there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. One day we'll be in heaven and we won't need to pray. We'll understand it all. They will understand. We will not be praying. We'll be fellowshipping together with the Lord Jesus." The first verse goes like this. Some of you old timers, sing it with me. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? And in this moment, the things that are on your heart, carry to God in prayer. The struggles and the successes, the trials and the triumphs, give them to the Lord. This morning to pray individually, to be able to pray quietly together as well as corporately in this body. In just a moment as we close, there will be a couple up here to the front, your left. If you'd like to pray with someone there, you're available to do so. But even before you leave, in just a moment as I pray, the band will take us out with the song Scandal of Grace. You can sit there in that moment and just pray alone. Perhaps you need to pray with someone maybe that brought you. Maybe you just want to go to somebody who's God laid upon your heart and pray with them across the aisle, across the chair. Whomever it may be. Or perhaps it's just you alone praying before God. Don't let the hubbub of the next few moments when we begin and some will be up and moving distract you from taking it to the Lord in prayer. And as we leave here, pray for our own lives, that it's not about someone else, it's about us. That our worship may be focused on Him and not about us. That we'll be a worshiping and reaching church.